God, we thank you for that. We thank you that you have a deep, deep love for us, and that this song just encompasses so much about your character and your personality. And as we explore some of that today through your word, we just pray that you would open our minds and open our hearts to how vast, how deep the love is that you have for us, and how big it is. It's just almost incomprehensible. So we just pray that you would prepare us for that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, happy Valentine's Day. So as we start today, I have a question for you. By show of hands, how many people in this room, when you hear of or begin thinking about Valentine's Day, the word love pops into your mind? So the majority, almost everyone. Okay. Why? That's just the way it's orchestrated, right? So as I was thinking about this, and maybe the same is true for you, it seems strange even to mention Valentine's Day in church. Yet, it's associated with love. How? Why? So everybody says a Hallmark holiday, or it's about, you know, couples, but really, Valentine's Day is a celebration of love. So we're going to focus in on that today, okay? And I think that part of what happens is that happens because of how the culture around us dictates what love is versus how God sees love. So in the world we live in, you can love a hamburger or a fast food chain, a pair of shoes, or maybe even your car. In fact, I would venture to guess that at one point we've all said, I love chicken fingers, my car.
Okay. Chicken fingers.
My wife. Well, that's a good one, Mark. We'll stick with that one. Yes, that's a good choice. Okay. We'll get there. But then there is the love that we talk about in terms of people and how that's defined. Often it's a response to how another person acts towards us, or maybe our response back. On television all day long, it seems people are falling in and out of love, and there is no real reason for it. Love is fleeting, it's fickle, expendable, seemingly right around the next corner. But what if love is more? There we go. He doesn't have the notes, so I have to. It's my fault. What if love is more? What if it's something that would truly be hard to wrap our minds around? What if our opportunities to love were limited and time was cut short to express love to those around us? Then, what would love look like? Today, as we continue on our series On the Way, we're going to take a look at this idea of love. Part of our mission statement is to unveil Jesus through his love. So what does Jesus say love is? How does he define it? When we look at the word love in the Bible, it always is in reference to costing something. Let's look at some passages to support this. And there are a lot, so we'll only be able to look at a few today. Let's start with a common passage to most of you, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish. Now, there's a lot in here that we're not even going to get into, but we're just going to focus in today on the word loved. The only way God saw to show his love for his people was to send his Son. I'm not God, so I don't know everything, but I would think, and maybe you would too, that there could have been another way to demonstrate love. But he's God, and he chose no other way. So why do you think he may have done this? It certainly wasn't based on a feeling. It wasn't based on a desire he had. He did it because he knew it was the only way to show the world how much he loved it. There was no other way. That concept to me alone blows me away. By the way, some of you may already know this, but it's good to be reminded. The Bible was written in different languages, and so words in other languages mean different things. For instance, love is talked about in three different forms in the Greek language, at least in the Bible. Today, we are focusing on only one of those, and it's the Greek word for love. It's agape, or agapeo. It's defined as unlimited love, love with no boundaries, and it is often described as sacrificial love. Another example of this is where Jesus is talking to the disciples in John 15. And in the context of this chapter, he's discussing what it looks like to be obedient to God. In the 13th verse, he points out what he will do for the world. Greater love has no one than this, to lay one's life down for his friends. But in so doing, he's telling the people to be a follower of me, you must be willing to live sacrificially. Now, I don't know about you, but it's often not what we are shown what sacrificial love looks like in our culture today. It's rare. What does sacrificial love look like? So I want to tell you a story about sacrificial love. Brian Chappelle tells this story that happened in his hometown. Two brothers were playing in the sandbanks by the river. One ran after the other up a large mound of sand. Unfortunately, the mound was not solid, and their weight caved in on them, and they sank quickly. The boys did not return home for dinner, and the family and neighbors organized a search. They found the younger boy unconscious, his head and shoulders sticking just out of the sand. And when they cleared the sand around to his waist, he awakened. The searchers asked, "Where's your brother?" The child replied, "I'm standing on his shoulders." With the sacrifice of his own life, the older brother lifted the younger to safety. The tangible and sacrificial love of the older brother literally served as a foundation for the younger brother's life. This is what sacrificial love looks like. This is what Jesus did for us. He lifts us to life on his shoulders as he goes to the cross. So how do we define it? How do we define sacrificial love? Romans 12:9 says that love must be sincere. It must be sincere. It's got to be from the heart. However, there is a more in-depth version of what love is found in 1 Corinthians 13, a chapter often read at weddings. But before we get there, I want to take a look at the last line in chapter 12, because that's leading up to it. And it says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way." The most excellent way. To love is the most excellent way. When we read the Bible, certain words should stand out to us, either for reasons they don't exist often or in the context in which it is found is profound. In this case, both of these are true. Excellent is found in the Bible only 34 times. 34 times. In the New Testament, it's only found 10 times. But in this form, in this word in the Greek, it's found one time. The word in the Greek is hyperbole. It is defined as all-surpassing, surpassingly great, beyond measure. Think about that. Love. All-surpassing, surpassingly great, without measure. What does that look like? And this is in preface to what Paul's description of what love is. Why would Paul use this word here? How did he come up with this word? And why did he use it nowhere else? Well, let's think. How many times in this life have we experienced love that is described as all-surpassing? Beyond measure. Beyond great. If we have, it's not often. And I would submit it takes our breath away. But what if we were the ones giving this kind of love? What if we were known by our love? What if at our funeral, person after person after person stood up and said, "They loved beyond measure and it changed my life"? I find it interesting that we read this passage at weddings, but not at funerals. Because I think it's so up here that we just can't reach the bar. So we're going to break it down. We're going to go through this passage by passage in 1 Corinthians this morning. And we're just going to talk about that kind of love and the power it has. See, there's no magic potion. But love without limits would truly get people's attention. I think that's why Jesus told us to love like this. Because if we do, we don't get the glory. God gets the glory. John reminded us, in order to demonstrate this kind of love, we must not love the world or the things in it, but we have to love God. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, because we know this is how we're called to love. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. See, even our words have to have love in them, or the words themselves are just noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. I can have all things that seem to make me close to God, to know Him more and be filled with great wisdom, even filled with the faith to do great things. But without love, all of it means nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but do not have love, I have gained nothing. I can be the most generous person until the day I die, but if I have not shared love, my life has meant nothing. So verses 4 through 6 tell us what love is and what it's not. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. See, love does not find joy in evil things, but celebrates when the truth comes to light. And notice here the always in front of these verbs. Protects, trusts, hopes, loves. Perseveres, I'm sorry. Always. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. These are attributes of love. It never ends. Always. Persistent. Unmeasurable. Unsurpassing. Or all-surpassing. See, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. So what do you know of in this life that you can truly depend on not to fail? This kind of love will never fail. And though we have not seen perfection with our own eyes, one day we will when we meet Christ in all his perfection, in his perfect love. We will know that love. So when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. For now we only see her as a reflection in a mirror. But then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall fully know fully, even as I am fully known. Have you ever thought about that? You know, we only see ourselves in a mirror. I was wrestling with this a little bit as I kept reading through this. Like, when we become fully known, we'll actually be able to see ourselves for what we are. Like, I see you, and you see me, but we've never really seen ourselves. Well, maybe like this, but not our face. And I think what he's saying here is the outside will become revealed. What's inside is going to be on the outside. We're going to be fully known. We can't hide in this shell. We're going to be fully revealed. That's what love will do. When we're with Christ, we're going to be fully known. And the verse finishes with this. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Yes, we will always have faith. We'll always have hope. And we'll always have love when everything else fades away. But love is going to rise to the top because it gives faith and hope a reason to exist. Without love, why have faith? Why have hope? As we read through this, I want to challenge you to use this passage as a filter for our lives. If we really are going to celebrate today as a day of love, there are things we need to do to love better. Man, as I read through this definition, and as I tried to engage in this week, huge waves of conviction came over me. I don't love like this. How do I do it? Is it even possible to love like this? Well, the question I came up with. What about you? How would you evaluate how you love? But then there's the other side of this. Is now that we understand what love is, how do we receive it? Do we feel loved by someone when they love us? Or is it rooted in what they have done or are doing? How do we know if someone truly loves us? Is it through their actions? I mean, we can speak the words, I love you, to our kids, our spouse, our brothers, family, and even God. But what do our actions say? In order to love, we must be people of action. Agape love, which is what we're called to, right? Because this is the love that's described here. Every time love you see in that verse, it's agape love. Every verse that we're going to touch on today is agape love. It's far more than the words we speak. It's how we live this out. It's how we live this life out by how we love. So as we wrap up this message, let's end in light of the love God has for us. What does that kind of love that we describe look like to God? How does he love us? Let's look at Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He looked beyond what we were. See, love is more than a feeling. It looks past the present circumstance, behavior, action, and it seeks to see the good in a person. It longs for the best result. Think about that. Love longs for the best result. It's meant to transform, change, cultivate a response. True love, think about this. True love is meant to transform, change, cultivate a response. Wrap your mind around this question real quick. Because as I thought about this, I went, this is hard. What if God never loved us? What if he said, they're too far gone to save, and there's no way to reach them? You know, he did that once. In Noah's time? What if he still operated in this way today? What if he said, they're just gone. Can't do it. There's no way. What would our lives look like apart from Christ? What would we look like right now? What would we look like apart from God's great love for us? Because without his love, there's no Christ. There's no redemption. There's no saving. There's no hope. There's nothing to put faith in. We're left with ourselves. We have so much to be thankful for that we can lift up and go, God, we are thankful. How great your love. Every song we sang today talked about, and the things that we're going to sing in it, talk about how great God's love is. So maybe you've not experienced this yet. Let us assure you that there is nothing greater than to fall fully into the arms of God who loves you and let him orchestrate the details of this life. Trusting him moves us to a place of responding to his love in a tangible way. So when we trust God, it moves us to a place of responding to his love in a tangible way. Because he loved us first, then we can love. A good chapter to read on your own is 1 John 4, but we're going to look at just a few verses real quick, starting in verse 10. Because it says right here, this is love. That's how it starts. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as atoning sacrifice for his sins. Do you hear this theme? Not that we loved, but he loved. That he sent Jesus to show his love. Giving sacrificially when we did not or do not deserve it. This is how God defines love. Verse 11 tells us our response to this should be to love one another. Well, okay, I sent my son. I came to love you. So in response, what you are to do is to love one another. And in verse 16, it puts it plainly. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. Think about it. God is love. No other where do we, no other place do we hear God is love. In the Quran, it never mentions God as a God of love anywhere. Here, God is love. And this is our how and why for the reason God loves us so much. It's in his nature. He can't avoid it. He is love. In fact, he cannot not love. It will go against his character. So for in order for us to live in God, it is essential for us to live in love. That's hard when we are hurt or someone has not done what we think they should. What we think is right or deserved is not happening. To live in love means to overlook the wrongs and love them anyway, because that's what love is, and that's what God did. And this is following the command Jesus gave us. So read along on the screen. John 13, 34 through 35. He says, a new command I give to you. A new command. To love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. How do we grow what God's doing here? One word. He says, you'll know that you're following Jesus. People will know that you're following Jesus if you love them. So to be known as a disciple is not to be an evangelist, to not be preaching the word, or even being so focused on being in church on Sunday. Oh, I can't believe I just said that. That we miss the most important part, to love. Because love is the big thing. It's what God did, and it's what he wants us to do. See, when we started this series, we talked about being on a journey with people and how we shouldn't miss them. If we love them well, they will know we are on a journey with a purpose, to get to God and to love those around us along the way. So my challenge to you this morning as we finish is this. Be people who are known for the excellent way. As people of the way, be known as people of the excellent way. And love without limits. God, we thank you that you loved us first and that we get an opportunity to love you. We are just blown away by how you did that and what you did. I mean, almost to the point of going, how do we do this? How do we love this way? You put people in our lives, in this church that we're called to love in a sacrificial way. How do we do that? Would you open our eyes and allow us to be your hands and feet as we experience more of you? Because when we're filled with you, the love will flow out of us. So prepare us for what you're about to do. Prepare us for the love that you're about to share with us. Keep the enemy at bay. He wants to snatch that and snatch the joy that you want to give us. When we love, you give us joy. So we just ask that you would keep him at bay. And that those in our life would be drawn to you because of the great love you've shown us and that we're able to show them. We thank you for that. We thank you for the cross. Because without that, we wouldn't know your love. In Jesus' name, amen.